This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, bootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. That's Kim St. Ange. Carl Middleman in here along with Susan Thomas with all of your traffic this morning, trying to get you to work. A little sunshine out there, no wind, kind of chilly, but man, oh man, it's going to be 70, mid-70s at some point by the middle of next week. If that doesn't get you in the mood for spring, I don't
Monday,
know what will.
Monday, 65.
Oh my gosh. I love that. But I cannot handle the wind. I don't know if other women can relate to this, but there's something about wind. It's probably having long hair, so neither of you can really relate. Carl, maybe you more than Mark. With your luscious hair over there.
Look at that.
I need a haircut.
Yeah, but it is so annoying when it's a really windy day.
Carl, yes. Has anyone ever referred to your hair as luscious before?
Yes.
Really?
Me.
Besides Nicole?
Me.
I don't think I've ever referred to anyone's hair as luscious.
No?
No.
That was a first?
Yeah.
You know, I
You're
won.
You're welcome, Carl.
I got awarded best hair on a male news anchor by the Riverfront Times
really?
One time years ago. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie.
Again, they lie about.
Congratulations on that fantastic award, Mark, but what a dumb category.
It's on my mantle. Thank you.
Is
Wait,
there a
they
category?
Gave you a plaque?
No. They can give me a plaque.
Is
I do
there a
have
category
the
like best eyebrows of a male news anchor, best ears,
best
teeth of a female news anchor goes to?
They had some pretty silly categories. It was all about selling advertising, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Regardless. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
I'm really happy for you, Mark. I didn't know that I was sitting next to a celebrity like that.
Well, see, live and learn. I'll be glad to educate you on that
Could
stuff.
I get your autograph?
If you'd like, we can talk off air.
Okay.
I try to reserve how many of those I hand out.
I get it. Your hand gets tired from signing all of them.
They're valuable.
I know.
That's the bottom line.
Where are your glasses? Because they're not in your office.
I don't know. I was in there talking to our boss, Tricia, so maybe they're sitting on her desk. I don't know what I did with them. Doesn't matter. I'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry. I can see, Carl.
Okay.
Clearly now the rain is gone? Or?
Yeah, thank you. Well played, well played. Coming up, we're going to get to Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. Can you just imagine what a great season it must be if you are the host of Fox News Sunday? Like, every week you've got a Volodymyr Zelensky meltdown in the White House. You've got an Al Green meltdown on the floor of the House. You've got DJ Daniels and this little kid who's got brain cancer, who's hugging the president. I mean, it's just nonstop news. So it'll be anxious to see what Shannon's going to have booked for her show for this weekend and her take on sort of the, I don't know, you know what my thought is on it, the sort of Democratic miscue the other night. They did not pull off whatever it was they were trying to do with the little paddles because people just thought they were weird. I don't think they were selling it. So we'll get to Shannon coming up, our buddy Griff Jenkins as well. And before the hour is over, I was teasing. I talked to Michael Quinn the other day. The Order of Hibernian Parade is coming up on the 17th, the Ancient Order of the Hibernians. It's a longtime tradition. If you've ever been down there, you got to plan for this, baby, because parking in Dogtown is never easy,
awful.
Particularly on parade day. So we'll talk to Michael about that and why it's such a great idea to go out there this year. I think the weather's going to be fantastic, it looks like. I don't know if it's going to rain or not, but if it's going to be in the 70s in the middle of next week, hopefully that extends into the 17th, which is when that parade is coming up. So we're going to get to him here at about 8:45 this morning. Right now, though, Carl, our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
And we don't know everything Elon Musk has done with his high technology ass. Mm-hmm. We don't know what he's been accused of by some, as it may relate to the election.
Like, do you have to have a computer chip in your rear end to have a high technology ass, like Maxine Waters just said? I don't know, but she seems to think that because he's so smart, he might well have gone in and dabbled with the outcome of the election. Maybe that's why Kamala Harris lost.
Behavior of Democrats last night was completely disgraceful and demonstrated how severely out of touch they are with the American public.
Yeah, Caroline Levitt's having a ball as well. I was talking about Shannon Bream, but every day she gets to go in and school some people there in the White House press briefing room, particularly on reaction or lack thereof on the part of Democrats at some key points of that speech.
DJ, it is such an honor to have met you. What he has one more thing to say. I won't interrupt you.
If you're a Democrat and you're being mean to President Trump, I'm on your bumper.
That's DJ Daniel. That I hate to laugh. The kid was hilarious. He went to the White House yesterday after being honored by President Trump during that speech, and he had one more thing to say. That was pretty funny.
As a debate on a bill that's allowing state control over the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department went well into the night.
Yeah, we're talking about midnight, 1 a.m. this morning. After 8 hours of Democrats delaying a vote, the Missouri Senate passed this large crime plan.
Yes, indeed. It now, here's what happens. I've been in touch this morning with Missouri Senator Nick Schroer to find out what happens next. So the filibuster ended about 1:30 this morning, only about 6 hours ago, 7 hours ago now. The bill passed. There was already a version of it that passed the House. And now they have to take this bill to fiscal review on Monday to get it out of the Senate's final approval, and then it will go to the House and likely be truly agreed upon and finally passed when the version goes back to the House, and then it would go to Governor Kehoe.
So do you think this could be passed in the House by what, next week? Is that the earliest? It wouldn't be today because they go home, right,
to
the weekend?
I should ask this question again. I don't know when their spring break starts. I would imagine there's one more week of session maybe until they're out for a little while. But I would think there would be some sense of urgency to get this done. So maybe depending on how long it takes to get the fiscal note, then they'd be able to get it through before spring break.
Well, and keep in mind, this would take effect, I believe, mid to late August, and you have one of the commissioners on that five-person board would be the mayor, so that would be either Kara Spencer or Tashar Jones, whoever wins. But then you have four others who would be appointed by Governor Kehoe, so he would have to have plenty of time to be able to appoint them and kind of get this board of commissioners, you know, set before it would take effect in August.
I think history is important here, and it's important to remember that the way this thing is written, that there would still be local control. And I think saying that you're taking away all local control is a little bit of a lie. The governor is only going to appoint people to the board who are citizens of the city of St. Louis. So he's not picking hand-picked lawyers from across the state that he wants to bring in here, or people who are only advocates for the police or whatever that he's going to place on this board. He's going to probably confer with the mayor, but he's going to take nominations for those four individuals. My guess, he'll have sit-down interviews with them to make sure he knows where they stand on certain issues before he appoints them. But they're still going to be city residents.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be some local control.
It's not just Betty who lives in Soulard and John who lives wherever else.
Can I do it?
That's what I mean. Like,
you would be eligible, Carl.
I thought that Absolutely. It wasn't, I hate to say it, not just like regular citizens. I thought that the other four people he'd appoint would likely have some sort of a role already. Like,
No,
saying it's just not regular citizens.
Not last time. They had, I think there was a somebody.
Wasn't Julius on it?
He might have been briefly.
I think Julius was on it.
They just appoint people that are St. Louis citizen.
So should we nominate
Carl? Some political connection of some sort. We should nominate Carl Middleman
to the Grinch.
Police board. The Grinch.
She's cool.
Did
the
you
Grinch
hear that?
Would
She's
honestly be better Carrey than movie. Probably Mayor Tashara Jones. I would trust the Grinch over Tashara Jones to be on that board.
That's funny. I don't know who would be on the short list for that board or not. I'd do it. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
You don't live in the city.
I do, but I don't live in the city. I mean, I just didn't finish my thought.
Well, you
there.
Identify as a city resident.
I do.
And really what matters is how you identify.
As somebody who pays earnings tax.
That's right. I pay earnings tax.
In your office.
What's that?
Take up residence in your
office. Yeah, you should qualify. I should qualify. If you pay earnings tax, you should
I would actually agree with that. If you pay earnings tax, I think you should qualify.
Absolutely.
You know people.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're going to change the rules just for me at all. All right, let's get to a quick break here. Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday, she's kind of a big deal. We don't want to keep her waiting. We're going to get to a break on that real quick so we can get to her, and we'll get to Michael Quinn at about 8:45 on the Ancient Order of Hibernian Parade, which is coming up on the 17th. Stay tuned.
The behavior of Democrats last night was completely disgraceful and demonstrated how severely out of touch they are with the American public. It was the most shameful moment in the history of presidential addresses in that beautiful chamber. In what was supposed to be a unifying moment for our country, Democrat members of Congress instead screamed at the President of the United States, who was just overwhelmingly reelected by their constituents, walked out of the chamber, and worst of all, they disrespected the American people.
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday.
All right, Shannon, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys?
I'm doing fine. I've listened to Congressman Al Green explain why he did what he did. I guess they're still going to vote to censure him at some point today. Am I right about that?
That is quite possible, although there are a lot of people on both sides of the aisle who sort of don't want to waste the time and energy on it. But remember, he's also busy with his impeachment that he has brought against President Trump. So he's always got a lot of things going on this morning. And, you know, today it might be censure.
So I'm sure you have a better memory than me. The name is not coming to me immediately. But, you know, I'm listening to Caroline Leavitt, and I do agree with the vast majority of what she says. I'll just say that up front. I remember when Barack Obama was president and a Republican congressman who I believe is still in Congress stood up
Joe
and
Wilson.
Screamed liar. That's his
right,
name, Joe
from
Wilson.
South Carolina.
Did he end up getting censured? I don't remember if that happened or not.
I'm trying to remember if he did. It didn't go down well because it was kind of one of the first times that had happened, at least in recent memory. I mean, you know, they used to cane each other on the Senate floor.
Yeah, that's true.
but I'd have to think back about Joe. I mean, there was definitely a ton of backlash, but I'm not sure that there was a formal. I feel like there was something formally that was at least introduced with him.
Yeah, I wonder about just I don't think the Democrats got the reaction they had hoped for with their paddles and their pink suits and their lack of enthusiasm for anything, including a child with brain cancer. That was pretty shocking.
Yeah, and I think that's where you kind of lose folks because, listen, we understand that most of what a president says, you're going to have half the audience there in the chamber standing, the other ones sort of sitting on their hands and looking glum. But it seems like there are always universally some moments that, okay, everybody can, you know, cheer and stand for a hostage coming home or a kid with cancer or whatever it is. And I did see some clapping at times from the Democrats, but never really standing and clapping. So, you know, Artie, I heard from a strategist yesterday who said they run a lot of GOP campaigns, and they said, we love it. We're using all the video of them not standing for the kid, for the military, for whatever it was, the moment. And they said, you know, we're already going to, you know, use those in 2026 ads and say, like, you know, why couldn't this person stand for X? So it'll be interesting to see how it gets used.
Carl, our producer, who is the king of Google, says that Joe Wilson was indeed censured.
Okay.
For
2009.
That. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
By a pretty large margin. Was it 2? What did you say?
240 to 179.
Something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that seems can kind of be the start of what has happened here more recently. I mean, I also think about, you know, when the justices, a lot of them will never go to any of these joint addresses or State of the Unions anymore because remember the dust up between Justice Alito and President Obama.
Yes.
And it turned out that Justice Alito was right about what he was objecting to at the time. Mm-hmm. So, You know, we've lost a little decorum.
Shannon, I know Trump was trying to freeze foreign aid, and the Supreme Court came back and said, where does that go from here now?
So the lower court judge had said just a couple of weeks ago, you got to pay out all this money. These aid groups had come in and said, you know, we're falling apart. We're going to suffer irreparable harm. And so the lower court judge had said, yeah, you got to pay out roughly $2 billion in federal aid that goes for foreign aid. And so it worked through the appellate process, went to the Supreme Court 5-4. They said yesterday, okay, the lower court judge, that ruling can stand for now. Now, this whole thing's going to play out on the merits, but what it means is they're going to be ordered to pay that money out right now. There's actually a hearing today. The judge and that lower court who made that original ruling is holding a hearing because the Supreme Court did say, the majority, the five, you have got to explain exactly what has to be paid out so the Trump administration knows, get to move forward. But you saw the dissenters, Justice Alito, Gorsuch, Thomas, and Kavanaugh say, you know, this is stunning that one judge can start telling the federal government what to do and how to pay out funds, and they were in complete disagreement.
That's a good point. And plus, if the money goes out, how can you ever claw it back if ultimately the Supreme Court disagrees with it?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's something that Justice Alito wrote in that dissent. He said, you know, the government can probably never recover this money once it goes out the door.
No, not at all. Well, at least it's two out of what, $50 billion, $55 billion? How much do they think they've run?
Yeah, there's a lot
so
more
far?
At stake.
Yeah, that's for sure. Who are you getting lined up for this weekend?
We're definitely going to have a White House guest that I think will be somebody very exciting and interesting because we want to talk to them about tariffs, the economy, this budget showdown that we run out of money on Friday. Next Friday. So there's a lot to get done. And hopefully we can announce that hopefully this afternoon.
Yeah, and finding out whether or not the tariffs are really the economic tool that the president claims they are, right? Yeah.
Exactly, because, you know, he doesn't seem interested at all in winding those down or the off-ramps for that. You know, a little reprieve on the automakers yesterday, but he seems to really believe in the history of what President McKinley did and said it was the greatest thing for the country to be, you know, so involved with the tariff game. So he seems to be a big fan of that.
No struggle for content these days, huh, Shannon?
Not at all.
It's a great day in America.
You guys know.
That's true. Shannon Bream, thank you.
See you Sunday.
Yep, see you Sunday of Fox News Sunday. You can listen to it right here on 97.1 at the 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoons. We air that for you if you're out and about. Stay tuned. We'll check in with our buddy Griff Jenkins coming up. And Michael Quinn is going to join us from the Ancient Order of Hibernians. We'll talk about the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Dogtown about 8:45. Stay tuned.
You belong here. This is your home. Boston es tu hogar. Boston, c'est la caillou, Tishini de Jia. This is our city. We are the safest major city in the nation because we are safe for everyone.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world.
Griff Jenkins,
watch your back.
Straight off the set of Outnumbered, ladies and gentlemen, Griff Jenkins, how are you?
I'm good, and you know, I'm glad you played that soundbite from Boston's Mayor Michelle Wu, because it shows that the $650,000 she spent to prepare for that hearing paid off.
Yeah.
I mean,
wow.
It's certainly proof of that happening, although there's obviously quite a lot of, I'd say debate that she's right, that Boston's much safer. You'll remember that my colleague Bill Malusian just a few months ago was up in that sanctuary city of Boston where they picked up the Haitian gang member who was screaming profanities. He had been, of course, released because of the sanctuary policy and had multiple convictions in his past. I mean, it was really something to watch, that hearing yesterday, and I'm talking about it today. And I think the part that I've really highlighted is, you know, the video you may have seen in Denver in the parking lot where the sheriff's office just turns this TDA gang member loose in the jail parking lot, which ICE officers have to chase him down, taser him. He assaulted agents. Rather than simply doing what ICE asks, which is to transfer him in the safety of the jail, nobody gets hurt. It's like a perfect example of why is it so hard to simply do it in a safe environment that doesn't threaten agents, let alone when ICE isn't there because they don't know those criminals get out and are a danger to the society.
Well, it seems like a fair question. When you were talking about the $650,000, did she hire like a crisis PR firm to prepare her for a testimony? What was that?
I don't know what legal team that was assembled, but clearly she felt the need to go out. And those of us old enough to remember the OJ days, she put together some sort of dream team, I suppose, to prep her to talk to members of Congress. You know, it's obviously one thing to, you know, appear before and testify in front of Congress. That's you've got to prepare for that, no doubt. But at the end of the day, like, she's not on trial. She's there to answer honest questions about the policies that she carries out as the mayor. You wouldn't think it would take more than $500,000 to get somebody ready for that.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about, you know, Trump was talking during his speech to Congress the other night about how he deemed like TDA and other gangs, what it was, a domestic terrorist, and how big of an impact that would have. I'm curious, in your mind, what kind of an impact has that had? Do you think that will make a big difference?
You're talking about the designation of the I believe it's 8 total transnational criminal organizations to include gangs like Tren de Aragua and MS-13, designating them as foreign terrorist organizations.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love the question, Kim, because no one really does talk about it. And the answer is it's definitely a huge impact. And here's why, you know, aside from the, you know, notion that if they're a foreign terrorist organization, much like Hamas or Al-Qaeda or ISIS, which we launch airstrikes, potentially you could perhaps launch an airstrike, although there'd be a lot of sovereignty questions with, you know, Mexico's president. But you could theoretically take out or do a raid in Mexico on a fentanyl lab if you had proof TDA was doing it or something like that. But short of that, the immediate practical impact is that we know that TDA, which, for example, I'm just using that as an example here, wasn't even on the radar. They weren't even in America prior to the Biden administration. Now they've set up shop, taken a stranglehold, and are in almost every major city in the country. Now, what are they doing to grow? They're setting down roots, but they're creating financial wherewithal to do that. And so once you're designated an FTO, you have much more latitude to go financially after suspected individuals. And so already behind the scenes, I'm told by officials that they're already cracking down and trying to shut off the spigot of the financial transactions and trying to target them.
When I hear the name Tren de Aragua, the only thing that pops into my head is, Martha, are you listening to yourself? When J.D. Vance said to Martha Raddatz, Martha, a foreign gang taking over even one apartment complex is too much. And you act like it's normal that they only took over 3 or 4. You've really kind of blown this out of proportion. I'm glad those days are over.
Yeah, but, you know, it's amazing to me that this is even a partisan issue. There was a moment in the hearing yesterday, and I need to play it more, of the New Mexico Congresswoman Stansbury, where she was saying this is total BS, literally saying the expletive out loud that what Homan's doing in this crackdown is not making America safer. It's terrorizing immigrant families. And you look at the rapists, murderers, TDA gang members that they're arresting and posting in transparency. How is it not making America safer by removing those individuals? I mean, it's we're like in a Twilight Zone environment where it's a debatable thing. And, you know, I'll say this. There's no doubt, and I'm not a credit seeker here, but there's no doubt that all the reporting that myself, Bill Malusian, and others did all throughout the Biden years of the border crisis brought people around to say, hey, there's actually something going on. The administration's not telling the truth when they say the border's secure. In fact, it's never been less secure. And that was proved true. Then you found out the November elections that the border moved the needle and may have been the main reason that Trump got elected. And now he's delivering on this mandate. You would think Democrats would start to sing from a different sheet of music and say, you know, we do need to remove the criminals, but we need to work on bringing more good migrants here to get jobs working here, something like that. But they don't. Instead, they just are screaming expletives at Trump about what he's doing, making communities safer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm anxious to see the first reports of when our special ops people engage these cartels, because I really believe that's coming next.
It's definitely coming. I mean, it has to come, because otherwise you've got these fentanyl labs operating down south of the border, which then come across and are killing hundreds of thousands of Americans. And I will say this, one more quick note before I run out of time here. You know, I interviewed this past weekend the new chief of the Border Patrol, Mike Banks, had him on set, and I was going through all these numbers, and it was a great conversation because obviously he and I can go kind of deep on that. But he even surprised me, Mark. He said, Griff, let me tell you a number nobody's talking about, and that is the number of migrants that die. They're a record number under the Biden administration. Migrants were drowning. I watched a migrant drown in the Rio Grande and Eagle Pass. It was heart-wrenching to see a woman drowned, couldn't make it across the rapids. But the administration that said they're going to be the most humanitarian in history was exactly the opposite. He says today, migrant deaths right now are down 86%.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's good news. And I hadn't heard that one either, for sure. Hey, Griff, thank you, my friend. We always love having you on.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yep. We'll talk to you soon. Griff Jenkins there live up in D.C. for us this morning covering the Sanctuary City story. Still shake my head at how they think that's a good idea after all the deaths that have happened as a direct result of those soft-on-crime policies. Wow. Hey, coming up, something that we can all get on board with. And that's St. Patrick's Day. And St. Patrick's Day parades and the big parade that always takes place in Dogtown. That's a lot of fun. It's coming up, plus a couple of events before that you may want to attend. So we're going to talk to Michael Quinn from the Ancient Order of Hibernians when we come back. Stay tuned. Well, should we make you guess who's singing that? I wonder how many people in the audience actually know. Carl played this one on me yesterday, and I guessed it correctly.
You did.
It
I was
is
impressed.
James Bond, Sean Connery.
From Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
Yeah, how about that? Isn't that a great song? And what a great way to lead into our next guest. He is Michael Quinn. He is, of course, president of the Ancient Order of Hibernians from St. Louis County. And he's about to tell us a little bit more about the parade coming up in Dogtown, the annual St. Patrick's Day parade on Monday, the 17th. Of March. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fine. A busy time for you right now, right?
Oh, my gosh. We had safety meeting last night for the floats. We've got all kinds of activities for today. We got the Irish Heritage flag raising today at 11 o'clock at City Hall for Irish Heritage Month for the month of March. That's going to be a great event to go down there and check that out. And we have hoses, handcuffs, and hard hats, which is another fundraising event for our local union and civic leaders and firefighters and police officers. That's tonight at 6 at the Electricians Hall. That's a great event. Come on down and check it out. It's usually jam-packed, so that's a wonderful event.
Is that open to the public?
Yes, sir.
And yep. where's the Electricians Hall? That's not the one on Hampton, right?
Right,
that's
Hampton and Elizabeth.
Oh, okay, Hampton and Elizabeth. All right, I was trying to remember where
just
it was.
East of Hampton on Elizabeth.
Okay.
Well,
good
hall.
To know. And
just
the
south
one,
of 44.
Okay, and the one downtown. Then the flag raising is over here by City Hall on Market Street, right?
Yep. Right by the giant flagpole. They'll start gathering today about 10 o'clock. And they get all the dignitaries and stuff, and flag's supposed to go up at 11 a.m. sharp, which sometimes Irish time we're not exactly early on time, but we're supposed to be 11 o'clock sharp. So,
well, I love it.
That's a good thing.
Kim St. Ange, have you ever been to the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Dogtown?
I don't think I have, and I have Irish in me, so I really should, of all people,
be there
to celebrate. But
Come on down and find us. We'll put you on a float. You guys should do a mobile radio spot.
Like a giant paper mache of your head, Mark, like Leslie Knope from the, what was it, Parks and Recreation.
There is a time when the technology wouldn't have allowed that, but these days you could just about do it on a cell phone. It's pretty crazy how good the technology is. So give people a preview of what's going to be coming up on the 17th, and get maybe a little rundown on when you're recommending people try to show up, because inevitably you need to kind of plan for that day just because of how crowded they get over there in Dogtown.
100% plan ahead. First thing you want to do is check the weather so you dress appropriately, and then you want to probably make sure that you know where you want to park, which is probably off of Manchester. There's a whole gigantic Kmart parking lot and stuff down there that's at the far end, Manchester and Tam, or the opposite end would be Tam and Oakland, which would be Forest Park. It's all of Forest Park. You can park for free. Stay away from the zoo parking lot because that's only going to have one way to get in, and that would turn you into a nightmare.
Yeah.
So, and parade kicks off at 11. I would suggest being where you want to be before 10 o'clock.
Yeah, that's true.
And taking into account that a lot of people start getting there at 7 and 8 because they're establishing territory.
That's like the ball drop in New York City.
It's crazy.
People getting near that. You better wear a diaper.
Yes, you are. Yeah, I did that once years ago. Man, you're not kidding there. That's right.
What, you wore a diaper years ago? Is that what you were saying?
No, not that. But
oh,
Michael, you can admit it. It's okay. Don't be ashamed.
I am getting older, but I don't know about that.
So I told Michael the other day that when we talked that I can remember the first time I left my job, my morning show at Channel 4, and I decided I was going to the parade because I knew some friends that were going to be there. It was my first time. It was back in the 90s, and I completely misjudged the traffic problem because clearly I didn't get off work early enough, and I got down there and I had to park, I don't know, way down off Manchester Road. I was huffing and puffing trying to get up the hill to where the parade was, and I get up there and it was like there were like it was four or five people deep to the street, because as he mentioned, people get there early, they set up their lawn chairs, they established their positions, and they weren't giving them up for anything. So they've been there for hours, hadn't they, Michael?
Yes, sir, they do, and they they're getting more creative now. They've got little fences up. People bring couches. People bring all kind of expanded chairs and, I mean, umbrellas. I mean, they get pretty creative. So if you want a spot and you want to be in your favorite spot, get there early and establish territorial dominance. That's all I can tell you.
Who's being honored in the parade this year?
We have the guys from the Irish Heirs are our Grand Marshal. We have some dignitaries, like Governor Keogh is going to be there, and we do have some invitations out to Chief Tracy, Mayor Jones, Greg Daly. I'm probably forgetting one in the middle of all that, but those are kind of the high dignitaries at the moment.
I was going to say, in the middle of a mayor's race, you shouldn't have any trouble getting politicians.
You would think not, but I think her schedule is probably pretty crazy, so we're just waiting to try and coordinate.
I would guess. Michael Quinn with the Ancient Order of Hibernians annual St. Patrick's Day Parade flag raising this morning downtown at 11, and then you got the event tonight at 6 o'clock at the Electricians Hall there off of Hampton. So, Michael, best of luck with everything, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one. And come on down. If you need a float, come get me.
Awesome. I'll send her down there. I appreciate that. I'm unfortunately going to be out of town, and I can't go this year. That it hits the same week as my daughter's spring break, so I'm out of luck. You could go, Kim, if you really wanted to.
Well, we still have time before you leave for vacation to make that paper mache of you, your head,
Float. Exactly. No. A big head. That's all I need is a bigger head. All right. Coming up, we're going to get, of course, to the Kilmeade Show. Annie and Mark in later today. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.